So this is called Producing Zoom for Sirens Midweek Drive, and it's part of, as I say, our online submission to the Festival of Learning, or aspect we're doing in the Festival of Learning. And really all we're going to spend the next few moments doing, or 20 minutes or thereabouts, is just actually have a chat about how we found this new technology, how it's worked through. And I'm pleased to actually welcome to this particular focus. You can, if you are watching a video version of this, you can see him on the other side over there, lead writer, of course, for Starburst magazine, somebody who, like myself, had not encountered Zoom before, but has become a pivotal part of certainly the teaching side of our postgraduate MA in film and television, and indeed the MA journalism course, in which we did the Journalism and Contemporary Cinema module, is Robin Pierce. Robin, thank you for joining me today. Let's just talk a little bit about Zoom. I mean, I seem to recall something, I was probably a little more than a year ago when we were in the middle of the first lockdown, and clearly I'd suspended the Siren Radio shows because we weren't allowed on campus, so couldn't go to the Siren Radio studio, so that was a non-starter. And so I'd picked up a couple of audio broadcast shows from Siren's twin station, Southside Broadcasting. And of course, we were faced then with how do we actually deliver our standard academic stuff online using new technology, et cetera, which was still in that time a little bit clunky. Microsoft Teams was not, again, I was not a fan of, et cetera. And so from my own point of view, I was fascinated by what obviously the Houses of Parliament were doing, i.e. politicians, what the BBC were doing, what a lot of other radio stations were doing, which was using this thing called Zoom, which I'd heard advertised. And so it's great for business meetings and various other factors. So I thought, well, I'll explore that. And if memory serves, we actually sort of had a chat with yourself about maybe coming up with a notion of doing a couple of standard links, but via Zoom. You had, I think at that stage, said you'd been part of a Zoom quiz, and the or at least a quiz which all the colleagues of Starburst have been taking.
That's right, yeah. It's how we kind of socialized when the magazine went to hiatus. And it was all brand new to me. And just a small trivial point, the first Zoom radio show that you and I did together was exactly 1 year and 1 day ago.
See, that's why I appreciate you're part of the whole thing, Robin. You can actually identify those things. I can approximate. You have the specifics. You're needed by Sage, obviously. But yeah, absolutely, in terms of that. And I think in terms of where we were going for Zoom, I then was thinking about creatively, how can we develop that? And so we came up with this program called Resonance Rewind. And then I started thinking, well, okay, that was designed to look back over TV shows and films and movies from yesteryear, many of which had got a firm following, many of which would be regarded as cult television, cult movies, they'd be genre-based and so on. But maybe it was a chance to actually give them a second watching, a second viewing, a kind of overview, and maybe reintroduce them to people who had never seen them before. And unlike either yourself or myself, had a kind of nostalgic view of what the show was, and maybe actually regularly watched the show, whether that be Adam West's Batman, whether it be Owen Allen's series, whether it be Star Trek, etc., on a fairly regular basis as our particular catnip. But actually, this could be introduced to people who had never encountered the programs before, because it was something in my teaching side of things I found over the years that you do reach that stage. I mean, many of my colleagues in journalism would have said that working through the processes of when people were saying not only that they couldn't remember Mrs. Thatcher as Prime Minister, but they had no idea who Tony Blair was, you realise that actually the generation is shifting. And despite the fact that you might think, oh, maybe I am becoming more experientially enhanced on the whole thing, that's there. So this was an opportunity to maybe actually invite some of the people who were part of the Midweek Drive in any case to really engage in a discussion format program and share their own thoughts of things. So it was kind of teaching and education by stealth. And at this stage also, I'm beginning to learn how to use the joys of Blackboard Collaborate and Collaborate Ultra and mapping out how to deliver the standard online practice from that, because of course we didn't know then that there would still be a significant chunk of the academic year 2020 to 2021 which would need to be delivered totally online. We started off the year for the first few months basically doing blended learning, lectures online and face-to-face sessions with seminars. And then more or less from December onwards, that we can't cancel Christmas edict was put together. And we kind of remained online pretty much ever since then. We're now probably going to go back to obviously blended. I mean, who knows, basically, is the bottom line. But let me just ask you to start off with, how have you found, as somebody who actually came aboard, first of all, for the Resonance Rewind, those sort of aspects, and then we'll go on to talk about how you found it being part of something which actually was very much a strategy we adopted in terms of the festival, in terms of the learning aspect, which was bringing in an external speaker, not just for a one-off guest session, but actually becoming embedded in the kind of culture for our postgraduate program, and in particular the module that I coordinate, which was the Journalism and Contemporary Cinema. So let's go to the first of those questions first. Resonance Rewind, how did you feel when I seem to recall we had the first discussion about should we do this, and we eventually decided we'd do a two-way program with yourself and myself, looking at Enter Batgirl, Exit Penguin, or Enter Penguin, Exit Batgirl, one of those two things from the season 3 episode 1 opening introductory package for Batgirl in the 1966 Batman series.
Well, I remember clearly getting a message from you that you wanted to have a chat about Resonance Rewind. And at that point, I didn't even know what a Resonance Rewind would be. I had no idea, because you hadn't sort of floated the idea past me. You just kind of dropped the title. And of course, it piqued my interest, as you probably knew that it would. And when it was explained to me, I mean, if you remember, I jumped on board instantly, because as a writer for Starburst and other publications and on the web, I work in isolation, and I only really know what I read in books for other people's opinions. Otherwise, it's, you know, I'm inside my own head. And it seemed to be a perfect opportunity to discuss what was inside my head about these old TV shows with somebody of a like mind and an academic like yourself. Because talking to somebody else, you always, it refreshes what's in your head, because what's in your head can get stale. And you might start remembering things incorrectly. And I found that you and I have a very easy rapport, that we can bounce things backward and forward, and it refreshes my take on things, and hopefully that's kind of reciprocated. I enjoyed doing the first one, which was the only one we've done so far, where there was just the two of us, because we had discussed having a revolving door of guests come in every now and again. By the second show, we had added Jenny Bill, and she brought her own take, and the dynamic changed. But since then, we've had an array of students, we've had writers of the episodes that we've covered, we've had people who have been on these shows, people who have been involved with these shows, people who have kept the fandom alive. And it's every show, and this is completely true, blunt and honest. Resonance Rewind is one of the highlights of my week, because I watch the show, I have my own thoughts about it, I revisit things that I haven't seen for years. Sometimes I'm watching things for the first time that have just passed me by for decades. And I get to talk about them to other people. And every week we seem to have a slightly different array. You and I, and now Jenny, are the constants. and we have some students, is that there's an amazing age range in there. The dynamic changes every single week. And it's a source of endless fascination to me, what everybody brings to the table. I think that, speaking for myself as an individual, and I've written about a lot of these series and about some of these episodes, both as a fan and for the magazine, it's just refreshing to hear other people and compare ideas. I mean, very often they will nudge me in a direction, as you have several times, to maybe alter my thinking about something that, you know, ooh, I might have overestimated this. I might have underestimated this. So, yeah, it's as much as we are trying to use a method of stealth education, I am learning as well. I think that's of great value.
I mean, one of the educational philosophers I've always been a big fan of and I've always tried to adopt in various ways is a gentleman called Krishnamurti. And he was very keen to promote what he called education by dialogue, which kind of goes back to Socrates and the Greeks and the fact that we learn by discourse as opposed to a didactic approach of saying, this is the only way you can identify this. This is the only preferred reading. You can only go on that basis. And I think also, again, it's been interesting that we've raised that international value, because clearly Jessica Burtis has also become a kind of key part of the whole thing. She was an exchange student who has since graduated from the University of Appalachia, and obviously did a semester with us at Lincoln. So I think that's helped roll the thing from that. And if people are sort of wondering, how can they access Resonance Rewind if they're listening to this, or indeed they may be watching the video, I don't know. We haven't decided as yet in terms of what we're doing with this side of things, but it is one of the benefits. The other plus factor about this online material is we can record the stuff, so that even if there are students who think, darn, I wish I'd actually attended the Festival of Learning Zoom live chat when it was actually taking place at 10 a.m. on the 7th of June, and I could have actually interacted on that basis. Well, the thing is actually still there, so it kind of provides a recording, which is also, I think, useful. And I think that's something which a lot of the students have commented on with my kind of day-to-day, week-to-week work, that actually having a good quality audio bracket helps as well. Of course, they don't have to access this, and who knows, nobody may listen to this particular item that we're doing now. However, in terms of that side of things, at least it is actually there. So there is a sense of, well, don't worry about FOMO, because even though you might not be able to have partaken in the whole system, because maybe you had lost the connection, or you hadn't sort of worked through there, or your broadband system wasn't up to place, that's still in place. Let's move on to the other side of things, which is to say the much more theoretical approach, I suppose the much more standard line, which is the module delivery. And the module is a postgraduate module that I produce for the MA journalism course. And that was the journalism and contemporary cinema module, in which we have a number of students who effectively the assessment, the assignment, is for them to actually hone their skills as film reviewers. And you kindly enough joined us, or kind enough to join us on a number of occasions for that. How did you find that experience in terms of stepping into a kind of teaching environment?
Well, that was completely unexpected for me. If you'd have asked me 12 months ago that I would be talking to postgraduates, I probably wouldn't have believed you. I had no inkling that anything like that would ever be on the cards. And when it was mentioned, I felt deeply flattered, as you know, but also completely and totally out of my depth, because I had no idea where it would go. I had no real idea whether I had anything in my particular arsenal that I could teach these young people. And so it was with a little bit of, I guess, false bravado that I stepped in front of the camera, and I soon settled into basically telling them my truth, how I had gone about pursuing a writing career, some of the pitfalls, and basically things that I hope are universal truths about being yourself. Don't try and be the next, Barry Norman or
Liz
Mark
Powell.
Amodi. Just be yourself. Don't be the next.
Edith Bowman.
Yes. Be the first you. And you kindly shared some of their work with me for me to have a look over. And again, I was absolutely fascinated and thrilled, let's be honest, to see that what I was trying to get out of them in developing their own particular voice, their own particular style, was being taken on board, and I could actually chart the development of their own voices in the handful, about four, I think, essays that you sent me, and you could actually see the upward progression. And towards the end of the sessions, I think I did five in total. They fully embraced the hints and tips that I was going to give them. And I felt a deep personal involvement in those that I needed to give of my best for them to get anything out of it. And I was having to operate at a level that I didn't know I could operate at. Because, as I say, and I can't stress this enough, it was all completely new to me. And it's something that couldn't have happened without the use of Zoom. To be able to see, make eye contact with people, it was integral. And going back to Resonance Rewind and any of the radio shows that we do, because we've done over 200 together. Well, it's far easier for me living in Wales without it being feasible for me to travel to the studio, to that I can actually pick up on your body language. And if you're trying to get me to either tone down or just shut the heck up, which I couldn't do before. So I would be ready to say something. I'd have 5 minutes. I'd have about 5 minutes worth of stuff. 2 minutes in, I'd be cut off. And I hadn't, because it was all on the phone, nobody was able to get a message to me like, your time's been cut in half. Get to the end of it quickly. So I'm still waffling about the middle bit. Do you know what I mean? So for me, as a remote member of your cast, it has literally been a godsend.
I think that's a really interesting perception there, and it is something which clearly in terms of the technology and in terms of the reliability, I mean, all being well, touch wood, assuming broadband survives and all the rest of the aspects of that, this has been a fairly reliable technology. Now, I know that your own son Steve uses Microsoft Teams and various other areas. Do you feel it as a platform? Because again, that's a whole thing. Do you think, and I'm not interested necessarily in promoting Zoom because I don't think it needs us to do that. But do you think it actually has helped in terms of the learning process? I mean, you suggest a couple of key things there in terms of body language, in terms of other aspects. Do you think that that actually works perhaps a little bit more than other sort of devices, or is it just a case of, well, the next step has to be holographic representations in our living room?
I think so. Because imagine yourself of student age. You are there at home. You're listening to a disembodied voice. Now, radio shows are dependent really on interspersing music to maybe keep you awake, keep you alert.
Or features in the case of Radio 4, Radio 5 Live, or TalkSport, or Talk Radio.
Which I don't have the attention span for. But if you're actually looking at somebody, you are seeing that person, you're seeing their movements, you're seeing their expressions. I mean, really, excuse me, sorry, you're going to have to perform, aren't you?
Perfect example of actually sort of those unexpected delights that you actually get, an insert from Bo.
I do apologise for that. That would be the postal delivery. But, you know, it's a performance. I mean, you as a lecturer, every lecture you give in an auditorium, Alex, is a performance. And you are moving, you are changing your expression because you're an animated person and the movements are what keeps people's eye on you. And I'm gesturing with my arms now and on a screen and, you know, flailing around like a fish out of water. But it's all a performance and it's all in engaging. It's all, well, it's subconsciously you're sending messages out, and you can't just do that with changing the inflection of your voice as a disembodied entity. So yes, I think that there is immense value in Zoom. And the quality of the product itself has, I think, improved. If you listen to those first few broadcasts, of course, you know, we would stutter as the system froze for a second. We'd sound like Daleks momentarily. But everything is now so smooth because it has evolved in the, 14, 15 months that it's become part of the world lexicon, which it wasn't before. I mean, we had Skype, but to be frank, I had two Skype calls ever in about, 7, 8 years? Whereas now I'm on Zoom 3, 4 maybe times a week. Mm.
It's fascinating in terms of where things are going. And I think that's part of the essence of this Festival of Learning celebration. Again, if you're accessing this in some way, shape or form, fantastic. We'll obviously promote and publicise the things as and when appropriate. I mean, we won't actually destroy these recordings as far as I'm aware. So, and I'm not aware of an electromagnetic pulse that's going to wipe the whole sort of sequence. But in closing, Robin, just in terms of, let's say, that learning process, either from your own point of view as a possible mature student, or indeed from if this is a question I'd put to any undergraduates, if they are listening to this, to maybe just reflect on this, do they feel as though this form of delivering education, this form of actually providing the opportunity for interaction and so on, it's going to be a fixture in terms of the way we see education evolving, or is it a case of, no, as soon as we go back to lectures to whole cohorts, the better, and so on, and indeed guest speakers having to add to their carbon footprint by traveling extraordinary lengths of mileages, etc., to travel to us. What do you think? I mean, the finger in the wind exercise, really, but what do you think the future actually holds for online learning and areas relating to what we're doing now, for instance?
I don't think that you can ever go back to fully where we were before the pandemic hit, either in terms of technology or where we are as society, because it has happened. It is part of our history. It's part of our psyche and our consciousness now. This is just another example of how the internet as an entity has become an amazing field leveler. And it has been that in my life, most certainly, because I live, as you know, in a rural seaside part of North Wales, pretty much remote from most most things. I mean, our nearest city of note would be Liverpool, which is a couple of hours' drive away. Then you've got Manchester, so it's about 2.5 miles, 2.5 hours away. So I could not be doing what I've done as a writer without the internet, because, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I would have needed to be at least based in London if I was going to be a film reviewer to attend the critic screenings or anything like that. Nowadays, the magazine can just send me a direct link and I can watch it all from home. I can submit the work right here from home. I couldn't have delivered the sessions that I did with your students without it, this being available to me, because, of course, I couldn't travel to Lincoln every other week because, A, costs, carbon footprint. And I think that's going to be the big selling point, is as we are becoming, hopefully, more environmentally aware, means like this, which are free to use, are stopping the carbon footprint. I mean, what would you rather do? Have me on a screen where I can be muted or switched off, or have me drive, I think it's 5 hours in a diesel vehicle to deliver about half an hour, 40 minutes at Lincoln, and then go back home again? I mean, it's so much cheaper, and you're getting exactly the same thing. So some students might not either want to or be able to travel to stay in Lincoln, but they can still have the full benefit of all the modules delivered to them to their screen. So it's a great cost saver. Yes, there's a danger that the student body may miss out on the full student experience. I can't answer that one. All I can attest to is the effectiveness of the technology.
Well, certainly, it's been fascinating just sharing some thoughts with you with respect to that, because it opens up all manner of bits and pieces. As you know, I'm a great believer in actually sort of adjusting backgrounds, and whether we're talking about movie backgrounds, filmic backgrounds, other backgrounds on the whole sort of system.
It's part of the performance.
Exactly. It all sort of works on that line as well. So it's good to connect. Robin, it's been wonderful sharing some thoughts with your good self. I think we'll wrap up outside the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, because, of course, that is part of the College of Arts and is indeed opening up for some fine venues over, or fine performances over the next few months. Thank you for taking part in this Festival of Learning event.
Thank you for the invite.
We will keep on Zooming and using technology to practice our pedagogies.
That we will.